Welcome to this podcast of sermons at CUNA United Methodist Church.
Beginning of the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, God's Son, happened just as it was written about the prophecy of Isaiah. Look, I'm sending my messenger before you. He will prepare your way, a voice shouting in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight. John the Baptist was in the wilderness calling for people to be baptized to show that they were changing their hearts and lives and wanted God to forgive their sins. Everyone in Judea and all the people of Jerusalem went out to the Jordan River and were being baptized by John as they confessed their sins. John wore clothes made of camel hair with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. He announced, "One stronger than I is coming after me. I am not even worthy to bend over and loosen the strap of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." About that time, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. While he was coming up out of the water, Jesus saw heaven splitting open with the Spirit, like a dove, coming down on him. And there was a voice from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I dearly love. In you I find happiness." At once the Spirit forced Jesus out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days and tempted by Satan. He was among the wild animals, and the angels took care of him. After John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, announcing God's good news, saying, "This is the time. Here comes God's kingdom. Change your hearts and lives and trust this good news." This is the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
All right. Please go to the next slide and the next slide. All right, there we go. Hello, everyone. I'm Patrick. I'll be doing the sermon today. And for those of you who haven't seen the film Inside Out, it's a coming-of-age story about a young girl, Riley, as she goes through the change of moving to a new city with her parents. She has many emotions in trying to deal with this change. The movie depicts her emotions as different colored characters, so anger is red, sadness is blue, disgust is green, and so on. Next slide. The movie ties in with today's scripture reading about the baptism of Christ, because they are both about change. Mark's gospel begins with John the Baptist telling people they need a baptism of repentance, a spiritual transformation, a rebirth from their old sinful self to prepare themselves for the coming Messiah. Baptism was not only a major change for the people listening to John at the River Jordan, but it is a major moment of change for the Messiah as well. For Jesus, baptism marks the beginning of his ministry. It is so important that Mark's gospel completely skips over everything else in Jesus' life to quickly get to this moment of change that will lead to Jesus' ministry, death, and resurrection. St. Mark does not describe how Jesus is feeling about this change. I'm sure that many of you react differently to change in your lives. Some of you embrace it with joy. Some of you despise it with anger or sadness. I personally identify more with Riley, the main character from Inside Out, who is really struggling with the change of moving to a new city. Since my mother was a Methodist minister, our family was expected to move to a new church every 5 to 7 years. And I did not like any of the moves. It wasn't just big changes like moving to new cities that I struggled with either. Next slide. When I was in elementary school, my dad wanted to get a new couch. I was excited about getting the new couch until I learned the horrible truth that we would have to get rid of the old couch. As an adult, I understand that a house full of old couches is not very practical, but as a child, I became very upset at the idea of having to part with the old couch. To help me with my emotions of nostalgia for the old couch, my dad let me sleep with one of the couch cushions in my bed and also left the old couch in the carport so I could sit on it while coming home from school each day. After a week, I'd calm down and the old couch could be taken away. As I reflect back on it, I wonder why I was so attached to that couch. I think about how my parents must have been completely surprised by their son losing it over having to go through this very minor change. Nowadays, I carry few sentiments for objects. My wife teasingly complains about how I am a minimalist who Marie Kondo'd, that is, cleaned out a lot of the stuff in her apartment while we were still just dating, not even engaged. As I've grown, I've gotten a lot better with dealing with change. But big change is still hard for me. Moving to a new town, starting a new job, or changing which pew I sit in at church. Whenever we change, we give up the certainty of how things were done for the uncertainty of how life will be after the change. Our brains have been wired to resist change. For most of human history, people were barely surviving and always on the brink of dying from famine, disease, or a number of other things that could kill us. Having a brain that wanted to stick to what has been keeping us alive was necessary, but in our lives, it is also necessary to go through major changes. From childhood to old age, we need to go through major periods of change over and over again. It's not just as individuals, but also institutions that need to change. A business needs to embrace change or it will die. Some of you will remember the company Kodak, which was a pioneer in the photography industry and had $16 billion in revenue in 1996. 16 years later, they went bankrupt because they didn't change their business from film to digital photography. In the 1990s, the movie rental company Blockbuster had 9,000 stores. They went bankrupt in 2010 because they didn't change from renting physical movies to providing online streaming like Netflix. Even for successful companies like Netflix, they needed to go through major change from initially mailing physical movies to streaming movies over the internet to producing their own movies. Next slide. Change is not just for companies, it's also necessary for churches. Before COVID-19, few churches could stream their church service, but once COVID started in earnest, churches were forced to stream their services and make other major changes. For each of us as Christians, we need to go through continuous change to fulfill Jesus' great commission to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and to teach them to observe all that he commanded. If you're anything like me, your evangelism is rather lacking and mostly consists of hoping people will wander into our church to actually go out to others in the world and start talking to them about Christianity or inviting them to church. It's not what I'm naturally inclined to do. If this were the movie Inside Out, the camera would show you the inside of my brain, and whenever the topic of Christianity came up, the purple critter that represents fear would take firm control of me until the topic had passed. I remember a time in high school, I had a good friend who I had known for over a year who was surprised to find out I was a Christian. That moment really stuck with me, that I was so anxious talking to others about my faith that not only was I not evangelizing my faith to others, even those very close to me didn't know that I was a Christian. It pushed me to make a change in my life. Now when I'm talking to friends, coworkers or neighbors, I consciously try to bring up church so that when the topic of what did you do this weekend comes up, I'll make sure to being a Christian is clear. So I may say, after church, I went to do XYZ, or talk about how my daughter goes to a Christian preschool and they were singing in the sanctuary, or how next week I have a plan to volunteer at my church for XYZ. Just yesterday, I was talking to my neighbor who mentioned he was going to Cascade for this weekend for a church event. And instead of avoiding the subject, I asked him about the event, which church he goes to, and just tried to normalize talking to church about him, with him. Even on my drive to and from work, I've started listening to a podcast that would read through the entire Bible. I don't drive to work every day, so it took me a few years, but I was eventually able to listen to the entire Bible and have moved on to listening to an audiobook about Christianity on the drive. Next slide. Recently, I've been reading Adam Hamilton's book, The Walk, which has many practices we can take as Christians to continuously change ourselves. For change is not just a one-time event. It is ongoing. For the chapter on sharing our faith, he writes this. Are there people who would say that you played a key part in their becoming a follower of Christ? Perhaps you invited them to church or shared your faith story with them. Maybe you listened and prayed with them or taught them in Sunday school, youth group, or Bible study. Or you were someone they knew was a Christian, and you demonstrated an authenticity and love that led them to consider church. If there was no one who would name you, it's not too late for you to begin to be more intentional about inviting or sharing your faith or bearing witness to what being a Christian means to you. Adam Hamilton encourages us all to have a faith story that we are ready to share with others. The epistle 1 Peter notes, always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Starting to think about how you would answer the questions. Why are you a Christian? What do you believe as a Christian? What difference does faith make in your life? These are good ways to think about what your faith story is. We are not used to talking about what we believe. That's a change for us, and I'll go first and give you my faith story. As a child, the reason I was a Christian was simple, because my parents were Christian. My mother was a Methodist pastor, and growing up, I went to church every week with her and could ask her questions about the Bible when I was at home. Also, my extended family were Christians, so when we got together with relatives, the topic of what have you been doing at church and making casual references to Bible stories was common. As I entered adulthood, many of my friends and relatives stopped going to church, and I started reading about theology and arguments atheists have against Christianity. I really started to ponder, is this real, or is this just something I was taught as a child? I particularly became interested in Christian apologetics, which is a branch of theology focusing on defending and explaining the Christian faith. It looks at arguments for the existence of God, the reliability of the Bible, science and faith, and other facets of Christianity. While there are philosophical and historical arguments against elements of Christian belief that I honestly think are very good, overall, I find the existence of God very likely through philosophical arguments like the ontological and cosmological proofs. For historical accuracy of the Bible, there are also portions of the Bible that don't line up with archaeological discoveries, but overall, the Bible, and in particular the New Testament, is accurate. What I find most compelling is that early Christian disciples who would have known Christ personally risked their lives spreading Christianity, which I don't think they would have done unless they would have known that Christ had been resurrected from the dead. So the more I thought about it, the more I found evidence for God to be more compelling than the evidence against God's existence. More importantly than any intellectual pondering is the difference my faith has made in my life. When I moved away from home, the easiest thing would have been just stop going to church. It is awkward to go to a new church. It is pleasant staying at home and watching TV. It is difficult to volunteer my time and money for charity, and it is easy to spend my time and money on something fun. It is hard to build a routine of prayer, study, service, and sharing my faith when I could procrastinate. But when I look back on my life at the things that have made it better, things like watching TV, going to a restaurant, playing a video game, they were nice, but building relationships with those at church, going on a mission trip, helping a child in another country go to school, those were far more meaningful in the long run. So, for what difference does faith make in my life? It pushes me away from the things that give me short-term gratification and toward the things that give me long-term gratification and toward the things that make this a better world. As a father, every night I've been saying the Lord's Prayer or the Apostles' Creed with my daughter, who is... These and many other Bible passages hold much of my core theology. There is a triune God who is three in one, who created all time, space, and matter, who came to earth as Jesus Christ, and who helps us in our daily lives through the Holy Spirit. I also believe that God calls us to make earth into a kingdom of heaven by caring for the poor, protecting the environment, and praying for our enemies. I'm always bothered by others who say they are Christian, but don't appear to be challenged by what they read in the Bible. In particular, those who see God as agreeing with their political and worldviews instead of seeing a God who challenges those views. I know for myself, I'm always aware of how much of my time is spent securing my own comfort, wealth, and status, and how I need God's forgiveness for not being more focused on helping the poor, comforting those who grieve, and showing compassion and forgiveness to others. I want to emphasize that while I am preaching all these wonderful things, I am by no means living a perfect Christian life. As I read through The Walk and other books, I'm trying to build a routine that will bring my actions closer to my ideals. Adam Hamilton gives the challenge to share your faith with 5 people this year. They might be your children, grandchildren, parents, spouse, neighbor, or coworker. Over the next 12 months, pray for them, do good deeds for them and others, and either share your faith story with them or invite them to church.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is preached almost always by our pastor, Reverend Mia Crosswaite. CUNA United Methodist Church is a community on a mission to make disciples for the transformation of the world. To support this podcast and the missional priorities of this church, go to cunaumc.org and click on Give. Any amount helps. And if you're kind enough to share your contact information with us, we'll continually send you things.